This is the Kitchen and Bathroom Design Podcast from Tavis Media.
Welcome to the Kitchen and Bathroom Design Podcast from Tavis Media. I'm Managing Editor Andy Davis. Firstly, apologies for the delay in between episodes. We're still in lockdown here, of course, and I'm pretty much holding the fort on my own, so I've got lots of other things to do as well as edit podcasts. However, you'll be glad to know that this podcast is a coronavirus-free zone, mainly because I recorded these episodes before it all began, so don't write me letters. I haven't been anywhere I shouldn't. Right, we've got a really interesting episode lined up here. Anyone who's listened before will know that we often talk about very specific design scenarios for kitchens and bathrooms, but sometimes we look at much more broad conceptual ideas that may influence design in the future, and this is one of those. We're looking at the concept of blurred spaces, the idea that the lines between different areas of our lives are becoming less defined and the design of those spaces needs to function accordingly. And it's not just in the home. More precisely, it's that the lines between work and home and leisure and home are also blurring. It's a fundamental shift in how society works, and nature, technology and the environment are all starting to change in line with it. That's the concept, and it forms part of a new study conducted by Formica. They love a big macro trends report, and this is no exception. So I met up with Nina Bailey. She's the UK design manager, to talk through the blurred spaces concept and what it means for this sector. But first, here's a plug for our other podcast, the KBB Review Podcast. It's a show we launched a few weeks ago that is looking specifically at how the UK kitchen and bathroom independent retail sector is coping and dealing with the coronavirus situation. It's full of positive experience, advice, tips, and reassuring tales that illustrate that everyone is in the same boat and you are not alone. To find it, search KBB Review in your podcast app, or go to podcast.kbbreview.com. But back to blurred spaces, the concept of wider societal trends leading us to blur the lines between the different areas of our lives. Now, as I said, Formica has identified this as a key driver for the future, and I met up with UK design manager Nina Bailey, and I started by asking her to outline her role.
So I'm the UK design manager at Formica, so I'm part of a larger team. So there's a couple of us in America, two of us in Europe, two of us in Asia. And so in that team, we all sort of work together and develop product design. So specifically me being in the UK, I mainly focus on the UK design. So in terms of that, putting ranges and collections together for commercial and residential products, and also actually designing the products. So we work really closely with our print suppliers to develop cylinders and exclusive designs for Formica.
I mean, that's, if you like, your day job at Formica, yeah. Isn't it? Product development is a huge part of that kind of market. But what's interesting about this is that Formica have always taken this very macro view of design as a whole and how design affects the home, haven't they? They really do see the value, I think, in what fashions and trends might trickle down to the day-to-day work of the designers like you. So give us an idea of why Formica are so interested in those big trends.
As a team, we're always looking into the bigger macro trends. So constantly going to shows and exhibitions and talks. And part of still the daytime job is really understanding what's happening in the wider picture. And in order to really understand what our customers want as well, we're constantly speaking to them and understanding what people require from our products. And I think it's just really important for us to know what's up there at the higher level to design and develop the right products.
So you do a trends report every year, which is always really interesting stuff, and it's really, again, these macro trends. So this year's report is called Blurred Spaces, and you've put this together. I'm presuming this is a kind of collective
project. Yeah, again, it's a collaborative project, yeah.
So explain to me then what this sort of blurred spaces concept is.
I'd say over the past 5 years, all of us in the design team throughout our regions have seen the trends starting to cross over. So it would usually be really obvious when you go to sort of like a commercial show like Orgatech or something, compared to going to something like the Living Kitchen as a show. Like you would see these different colour trends coming through, and it would be sort of consistent throughout the year in terms of the different shows we would go to. And I think what we were all starting to realise is that it was all sort of merging a little bit, and be like, oh, well, we saw that last year in that show, and we've seen those colours coming through in the commercial, but we're now also seeing them coming through in a residential application. So it's all that sort of blurring that started to make us think that there's really something going on here. And then we heard of the term resimercial. I mean, one of my colleagues in the US started using that term ages ago. So we were like, did you make that up? Or is that something that was already there? So yeah, it's been something as a team we've been talking about over the past couple of years. And we just wanted to build a report around that and share that with our customers and a wider audience.
So it's the idea, I guess, that there used to be the commercial market and that would be studied in isolation over there, and then there'd be the residential market and that would be studied in isolation over there. But what you're saying now is that the two are blurring and merging together, and they are moving at the same pace, and you're not seeing one fashion transfer to the other 2 years later or back and forth. It's just very much all moving forward in one
simultaneously
way. I mean, resimercial is a dreadful word. Let me just say that up front. But I get entirely what it means.
Yeah.
It's residential plus commercial.
Exactly. Yeah.
What does this mean in terms of how you as a company would operate? This idea, do you have two different teams that look at these things? Or are you following fashion in two different streams? How does it actually work from your day-to-day job point of view?
In my sort of section of the team, so I work with my manager, who's the director of European design. It's actually just her and I in Europe. So we don't primarily just one of us focus on residential and one of us focus on commercial. We both constantly are looking at both of those markets, which is, I think, why we've identified this whole style and look quite quickly, because we are both always looking at residential and commercial trends. So straight away, we both sort of started seeing that crossover. And in terms of design, it started coming through a lot in our launches. So for example, two of our UK worktop bonded collections, Axiom and Prima. And for that, you know, I've been really aware of the things that we found out through doing the Blurred Spaces report, and in such added products that are sort of starting to reflect things that you might have seen more in the commercial world, or different colours that you might have perhaps thought that might be more commercial are starting to come through into our residential ranges as well.
Okay, so talk me through what's driving this as a trend then, because when you look through the report that you've done, you're really looking at the top end of macro trends here, aren't you? You're talking about the environment, you're talking about sustainability, you're talking about global population. I mean, look, lead me through the sort of journey from looking at these wide perspectives right down to how you arrive at a concept here. Talk me through the journey.
So yeah, macro trends, basically. So we're looking at things like in technology, we're seeing things really advancing, you know, people not really working in one place anymore because of the use of the phones and the laptops and the iPads. So a key thing for me is the idea of working remotely has become like a really big thing in our society, whether you're, you know, self-employed or you're working for a company that doesn't even have an office anymore, or you're working far away from that office. So that whole idea of working remotely and working from home is built into this side of the report in terms of the residential section. And I think people are starting to realise that the kitchen space is perhaps not just a kitchen anymore, and not everybody has space for a home office, but we're starting to need to open the spaces up into being all sorts of different areas of being used. So in a nutshell, we're basically looking at these sort of bigger pictures and then building that down into what does that actually mean for our product design, and what does that actually mean for designers using our products as well.
Because what's interesting is, if I was a kitchen designer, I'd be going, well, yes, of course, I know that. Because obviously on a very day-to-day level, they're dealing with people's actual lives. But you're looking at things with such an overview of how this might affect entire industries or entire sectors going forward. One of the things I really liked in here, obviously there's the blending of residential and commercial in the way that you're describing here in terms of workplaces and the home. But it's that blurring of the home and leisure spaces as well, which I thought was really interesting. The idea that it's not just about work and home, it's the bit that you do in between work and home as well that's all blurring too. So talk us through how you reach some conclusions about that.
So, yeah, I mean, there's that whole concept of people bringing the gym into their homes. A lot of designers are looking at, you know, how they can put certain workout pieces built into the structure of their homes or built into their kitchens. And I think it's because the home is becoming such a hub for everybody. People are trying to spend less money. It's becoming the place where we try to actually do everything. So it's all sort of our little oasis of space where everything needs to be done. So in terms of exercise, in terms of working, in terms of play, in terms of relaxing, the space now has to encompass all of those things and be adaptable to let us do all of those things.
And the products themselves have to be able to transfer from one area to the other as well, don't they? When you're doing your R&D and you and every other manufacturer, you can't isolate R&D down one of these streams anymore. And what I find interesting about that is that sustainability is driving so much R&D at the moment that perhaps this is how it gets into the residential market, because consumers aren't necessarily looking for it or asking for it in kitchens or bathrooms, or they're not asking for it enough. But maybe this is the route in, because this blurred approach means that all product development has to tick all these boxes at once.
Yeah, I think that could be definitely what's happening. There's all sorts going on in terms of sustainable materials, like you were saying. Because there's this blurring of spaces, people are wanting to use materials that have a more longevity and a longer use for them. I think it's less about fast fashion and things turning around quickly. So in a sense, we're trying to use materials more that speak more to ourselves, that we know we like and that we're going to be able to use and that are going to be adaptable for all these different sort of applications. I think at one point in time, people would choose something for their kitchen because they were like, yeah, that looks really stylish and that's going to look great in my kitchen when I'm only cooking my food. Whereas now it's like, well, if I'm in that environment and I'm doing homework with my kids, is this practical? Or if I'm working on a work project, is it practical? Everybody's unique, so we've all got to start picking materials and things that are suitable for ourselves. So somebody might like something that's really bold and vibrant, because for them that might be great for a kitchen because it'll keep them excited and motivated to do whatever they're doing. Whereas some people might want, well, you know, if I'm working in there as well, I need something that's really calming and soothing and something perhaps that's reflecting the outside world in terms of natural woods and stones. So I think people are becoming a lot more in tune with what they actually want as well, rather than following the trends. And it's about personal preference and selecting what's right for you.
The blurring has happened inside the home. It used to be a kitchen and there was a dining room and there was an office, whereas all those rooms inside the house are blurring into each other and the functions change. But of course, inside the workspace, you know, we're in an office right now, inside the workspace, it is becoming more and more homely.
Yeah.
As a result.
Yeah, exactly. But it's also not just blurring in terms of the home and the office, it's also the blurring of the outside world and the inside world, which is nothing new to anybody. And I think we've heard of the whole outside-in trend over the past 5 years. But for me, that's quite important as well. And I think that's something that's going to continue to trend, and not necessarily even trend. I wouldn't even say it's a trend anymore. It's more like a theme that's been proven to support our productivity and our well-being and our mindfulness. And that is just a theme that has been picked up in all these different sectors. And I think that's sort of what's blurring them as well, because everywhere is using that natural outside-in theme throughout all the different sectors.
As we become more and more technologically proficient, and as we become more and more advanced in the machinery that we use and the automation that we use, that actually, in our actual day-to-day lives, we are craving anything other than that. We want it to sort of merge into our actual lives as opposed to have our lives led by it. We look for natural materials and natural environments and nature and outside in when we're stuffed full of computers in every pocket.
Yeah.
And at work, we are constantly in touch with work because technology has allowed us to do it. And that's part of what's triggered this blurring.
Yeah.
But actually, we don't want to feel like we're in a world that is
like that.
Driven by, yeah. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it is interesting. I think, you know, obviously we need... I think the technology has allowed us to live these more fluid lifestyles, though. So we've got the likes of the, you know, portable iPads. I mean, I sound like a granny. I mean, iPads have been around for years now, but I'm talking in the past like decade or whatever here. So,
listen, I'm 47, Nina. To me, that is still like Star Trek, okay?
I just think that those sort of things and technology has allowed us to live the lifestyles we live. So without that step and advancing in technology, we wouldn't be able to be as free as we are as humans now, being able to sort of work and be remote and have all these different things going on at once. We don't even have such strict working hours anymore. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but it's not everywhere isn't 9 to 5. You've got hours you need to do and you need to do your work. People become more adaptable. I think lifestyle and work life has sort of really balanced out a lot more, and companies understand, you know, you need to go and collect your children from school at 4 p.m. so you do that and you work a bit later, and it's all become a lot more flexible. And I think thanks to technology and just the sort of advances in the way that we're living, we're able to sort of have more flexible lifestyle.
Yes, I think it's very task-based work, isn't it? Very task-based life, and it's a list of things to do, whether that is work or personal or anything else, rather than having a clock in, clock out way of approaching work, which we used to do. You would go, well, clock in at 9, clock out at 5, and that was the end of it. Again, this is all very conceptual, and a lot of it is about putting a kind of name to stuff that we vaguely already think about and know. But let's talk about the sort of practical applications of this kind of thinking. You put all this kind of report together, but at the end of the day, how does this affect what colours you make worktops? How does it drip down to the actual practical decisions you have to make every day?
We're always thinking about our customers in the end. What are they actually going to be using? And all of this stuff will affect our customers, because it's big macro trends that are happening to all of us around us. And so in terms of colours and things, one of the big points, obviously, the natural outside world coming inside, that whole story, that's been really inspiring our commercial collections and our residential collections.
But you shouldn't have those two collections anymore.
There you go. Next step. So, yeah, that's all sort of been filtering into the collections that way. And then with sort of like woods and stones and things, it's rather than thinking, is that a suitable stone for residential? Is that a suitable stone for a commercial? It's more thinking now about everything's potentially usable, but it's now more about what's the scale of that? Is that scale going to work on a worktop, or is that scale more suitable for a wall panel? I think the world's a much more open space now. Anything sort of goes. And in terms of other decors, things that are coming in that's new, that has come from more blurred spaces, people are trying to have a more individual stamp and approach to their home design. And a lot of the time, people want something that isn't always resembling a natural material or isn't always a solid colour. So in our Axiom launch, I've actually developed and put some things in that range that are much more abstract. They have an organic sort of natural vibe around them, but they're not a wood or a stone. They're just having something that's almost more like a piece of art that's laminated.
So as part of this report here, you've kind of identified a sort of series of trends from within the home that are kind of spin-offs from this whole blurred spaces idea. So run us through some of these concepts that you've come up with.
So something that we were looking at is the whole idea of having a very nomadic lifestyle. And that trend really filtered down in terms of product design and in home design as well. A really nice example that we researched was a project called Tents by Pantaturon. And basically it's about having essential items which are made out of sustainable materials that basically roll up into a small backpack, and you can, you know, move home really easily without having to carry lots of different luggage and having removals. So it's about having much more simplistic lifestyle and having much more pared back design.
What I found was interesting about that was so much that drives kitchen and bathroom design is about creating these home environments, creating these spa-like bathrooms and these big family kitchens. And obviously that's still incredibly important. But what we're looking at here, and it's a very conceptual thing, this Tents, but it's this idea that that home is where you are. Your home is where your stuff is. Home is where you are travelling to. It doesn't necessarily have to be a geographical location, which I thought was quite a nice way of approaching family life in a lot of ways, and how that will affect how you would design a kitchen is much more interesting, because it becomes about being able to move your stuff from one home to another without having to physically dismantle anything.
Yeah, I think the idea is to think a little bit more conceptually about it. I don't think we're actually saying, you know, you can pack up your kitchen in a bag and move home. I think it's that whole idea is more about, yeah, like you said, understanding that home is where you are and you can make a space your own. So I think sometimes it translates into small touches can make a space your own. So perhaps you don't always need to completely revamp a kitchen or revamp a bathroom to completely make it how you want it. Little things can be done.
It lends itself as well to this very cloud-based living as well, doesn't it? So that your photos are cloud-based, your music's cloud-based, your TV shows, your movies are all cloud-based, and you can pick them up wherever you are. Mm-hmm. This kind of just takes that concept a little bit further. It's really interesting. What else have we got?
So there was some sort of themes that we looked at. So in terms of quiet spaces, so I mentioned before the idea of well-being and meditative spaces within the home. So a lot of architects and residential interior designers are looking at that whole concept of, you know, how can we make our home more of a sanctuary. A really nice project we looked at was a house in the English countryside in Hampshire. So yeah, the whole idea of that house is that it's very much nestled into nature, and it's this sort of big sort of concrete formed space that has very much an open plan sense of living, but it has all these different sliding doors and elements that mean you can sort of close off a space and have that as like your little sort of, I don't know, yoga or meditative space, and then open it up again and it's part of your living room. So it's about homes becoming a lot more adaptable and spaces becoming a lot more open and just a way of living a little bit more freely.
That's fascinating, isn't it? Because we've talked about a lot of, on this podcast, about open plan or broken plan. The trend for, or the move towards us having as much space as possible has kind of tapered off a bit, and people want a bit more of a zoned area. But what's great about this one is you can pick and change and move the zones on a daily basis if you want to. They've actually built in a way that the homeowner can put walls in or move things around.
Yeah.
And it's really, really interesting. If you're looking at how kitchens are designed, the idea that the homeowner can change it that easily, it's fascinating. Yeah. That's such a brilliant...
Sliding doors.
Yeah. I know, but that's all it is.
Yeah. I think
it can change the atmosphere of a room so instantly.
Yeah. Simple and effective ideas, I think, are the way forward. I think it's about those simple adjustments making things work for you.
It's not just about making your yoga space. I mean, I'm constantly looking for yoga space, as you can imagine. Mm. But you can also shut away the things that you don't want to see. The kids play on the Xbox or whatever it is.
Oh, you've got guests coming around. Shove everything in
there. Yeah, put all the rubbish in there and, you know, put the dead bodies in there so they can't see them. But it's a great. So what else have we got?
Something I was looking at was like brutalist nature. So seeing
I'm pretty sure I've got their album.
Basically, seeing a lot of the whole sort of concrete trend coming through the industry, again, for quite a long time now, but it's what I've noticed is that the whole idea of concrete is being used a lot more in countryside homes. Mm. So it's that blurring of urban and country. And then in the city, people are like yearning for some greenery and some outside space. So we're seeing more of the sort of concrete materials being used in the countryside. And there was a really nice project I found called Ghost House, and it's actually in Warwickshire by BPN Architects. And it's this really beautiful concrete building, basically, that looks really sort of brutalist and urban, but it's set and grounded in this beautiful piece of Warwickshire countryside. And so that whole mix of urban materials combined with the countryside.
Where do things belong?
Yeah.
There's no
it's sort of just like very thought-provoking. And again, it's probably quite a mindful building in itself. So, I mean, there's a lot of raw materials in there, a lot of glass. It's very, again, open plan.
Mm. So, it's open plan with a purpose, though. I think that's the difference.
Yeah, open plan.
It's not just creating space for the sake of it.
No, I think this building is open plan. Loads of glass because they want to see the outside world as well. It's all about getting that light into flooding through the building and all the different aspects and views that you can see from the building.
So where do you see all this going? What's the natural conclusion to this as a trend? Is it that there's no such thing as offices anymore? There's no such thing as homes? All these things just end up being one thing? What's the end game?
I think in conclusion, as designers, you're not a designer, but me as a designer and other designers.
I know lots of designers, does that help?
I think, we and they need to just be really open-minded to the fact that these spaces are completely blurring and there's no sort of boundary anymore as what's applicable for an office, what's applicable for a home or hospitality or whatever. And it's just something to be really aware of because everybody is going to have their individual needs for a home. And it's just starting to be really important that we take personal ideas and touches into each sort of environment. Nothing's the same for everybody anymore. And we all have very different lifestyles and very different approaches. So I think it's just about being very mindful in terms of design as well.
All these things inform, I think, how designers take a brief from clients.
Yeah.
I think that's where this comes in. It's about asking the right questions, understanding not just how they live their lives at home, but also how their work operates, mm-hmm. what their social life is, what their leisure time is, because all that informs how they use that space. And that's the ultimate blurring, isn't it, I guess?
Definitely.
I've summed the whole thing up rather brilliantly.
Well done. I think as well, like, not everybody has space for all these different rooms.
Are you saying that everyone has a gym and a yoga room in their house?
I don't. Unfortunately.
I've got several.
Because we don't have the room and the capacity for those sort of things, and our homes are becoming smaller, you know. Again, something that we've seen globally is the problem with housing and in terms of space and expense. So everybody's living in these smaller spaces, trying to save money, trying to like do all these different things because they know they've got to have some wellness in their lifestyle. And it's about making that space work for each individual and trying to just have these collaborative areas that are multifunctional.
Well, that's a fantastic place to finish. So look, Nina, this is really interesting stuff, and I love all this kind of high concept stuff. So thank you so much. Huge thanks to Nina for that conversation. Really, really interesting. And it will be fascinating to see how these influencers end up in the most positive way on the high street. There's a couple of specific examples in there that Nina describes, so I'll put links to them in the episode description, as well as a link to a webinar that Formica did just this week on this very topic. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.